Take off your jacket, because it's time to get deep under the covers with a loose read.
Yes, Morena, we have Suri in the studio with us from Time Out Bookstore. Good morning.
Good morning. How, you both have like a very cheerful look on your face.
Oh, well, it's always a good time when we've got a guest in the studio with us.
I know. It's always a great time on Breakfast.
Now, what book are you here to talk to us about today?
So I just thought I'd start with like a little content warning. The book is Things in Nature Merely Grow by Yi Yun Lee. And it is a memoir about her two sons who died by suicide. So if that is a tricky subject for you, maybe tune out.
Fair enough.
But it is, so Yi Yun Lee is, she's shortlisted for the Pulitzer Prize. She's been a Booker judge. And most of her work has been fiction, save for, like, I think Things in Nature Merely Grow. That's, I guess, like, memoir, philosophy. And then her earlier one is, like, definitely memoir about her own sort of suicidal ideation. And I didn't know what to expect with this book, to be honest. I think with grief memoirs, I think it's like there have been a lot of memoirs written about grief, but I think this, in the way, style of sort of Annie Ernaux or Joan Didion, sort of veers away from like a sentimentality. It's like almost like quite a clinical look at the stages of grief and the stages of loss. So in 2017, her son Vincent died of suicide, and that led to her writing this extraordinary, tender and beautiful work of fiction called Where Reasons End. And that's sort of like a book that's largely like a dialogue between a mother and her son. And she talks in the book about how writing that book for her felt like it came very naturally, like the voice of Vincent sort of appeared and compelled her to write that. And she writes about Vincent as like this really delicate and earnest and poetic sort of romantic soul. But in 2019, her son James passed away. He was a student at Princeton studying linguistics.
Wow.
Yeah, and she sort of talks about him, which is also where she taught. So I can't imagine what going back to work at the same place must have been like afterwards.
So hard.
Yeah, totally.
Two children as well.
Two children, both of her only sons. And yeah, so she sort of talks about how James was very different from her brother, where Vincent was like a, and in the space of 2 years, Vincent was this sort of romantic soul. James was someone who was sort of like more quiet and precocious and really sort of driven by this calm sort of logic and reason. And she talks about how some of her last conversations with him were sort of talking about like what he was reading, which was Wittgenstein. He was obsessed with like Camus, Caligula. And I think that kind of comes to her. She talks about how that pushes her to write this book about loss and grief as more of a philosophical inquiry than fiction, which I think is like an extraordinarily brave thing to do, to sort of, you know, apply that psychoanalytical lens and, you know, try and remove any sense of real sort of emotion from this like tragedy that happens and try and make some sort of like reason or sense about it. And I think like for anyone who's read The Myth of Sisyphus, I think you'd particularly find Things in Nature Merely Grow really interesting, because I think they're two books that are very much in conversation with each other, where Myth of Sisyphus is sort of looking at like you know, the irrationality of life and the myths we require to sustain life as human beings in a largely sort of tragic world. This book sort of looks at, I guess, how you can create, how you can continue living and create life and meaning using like reason and logic, I guess. And so, it's kind of jarringly sparse, and it's like, yeah, it's so interesting reading it in that style of sort of like academic analysis, especially when she sort of talks about stuff like, there's so much in here that sort of looks, and I definitely started crying. I'm not a parent, but I think like, you know, we've all been sort of told by our parents, like, I think particularly at times where it's felt like they've been like super overprotective or whatever, like you kind of think like, oh, like you just don't get it. And like, we've all been told by our parents, like, you'll never get it until you're a parent. And yeah. I think this, like, this totally gave meaning to that. She sort of looks, she looks at like parents through sort of contemporary history as well, who've been villainized for sort of like, you know, putting their children in danger, or, you know, parents who've like killed their children. And she talks about how like, it also reminded me of like Toni Morrison's Beloved. She sort of talks about how like, quite often that response can also come from this real fear that she sort of felt with her children, where like, you know, you have this want to protect your kids from the horrors from of the outside world, and the insular world that you both share has like some sort of control that you exert over it. So you can like create these like safe parameters for your kids, but that's completely out of your hands as a parent once those parameters fall. And she sort of talks about like this real pride and like fear she had for Vincent, her son who passed away when he was 17, and how he was like, you know, he was really sure in high school that he wanted to go to school in like one of her beautiful pink dresses, and her husband sort of like trying to push him towards, you know, they're like, what about something like, you know, with less color, something that can like maybe be seen
make
as like, totally like with a bit more androgyny. And, you know, the fear of him like walking home and like the threat of like bullying, but also like sexual violence that could be enacted on him. But also kind of being like, you know, as part of a part of being a parent is like this process of like radical acceptance that no matter what you do, like at some point your children are going to be faced with that loss, and you're like completely helpless in face of that. It's like, but again, it's like it has those moments where she's very much contending with her life and her relationship to loss. Although she does say quite often in the book, she's like, this isn't so much a memoir on loss. And she really sort of like resists calling this like a grief memoir. And she sort of talks, I guess this is where like the more philosophical dialogue comes into the book, where she talks about how grief is spoken about in like stages, like these things that are contained. And, you know, she talks about how after her sons died, there was like this real sort of disgust that people had that she continued indulging in some of like the inane things in life that people thought she was trying, was like an attempt at finding joy again. Things like, she took piano lessons, you know, like maybe I think it was like a week or two after her first son died. And she sort of talks about how like, rather than like grief being this thing that was like, you know, it was like going through stages, and then once you hit the final stage, it's done. She's like, I came to understand that like this was something that I was always going to live with. And if I wanted to continue living, I had to create like meaning and structure in my life and find things to do, rather than it being some sort of way of like ignoring or like, you know, disappearing into fantasy or anything to like avoid. She's like, it's not avoidance. But yeah, it's like I don't know if the lack of sentimentality would put people off, but I found it just so fascinating, because she also sort of goes back through periods of she looks at how tragedy, particularly the loss of children by parents, has been depicted throughout history. She looks at sort of like Greek tragedies and Euripides. I can't remember the name of the Euripides play that she talks about, but And there's a really beautiful poem in it where this mother talks about loss, and then there's this part in it where it's like, men are happy and then they die. And that's constantly echoed and sort of like reworded in the book as she's trying to figure out whether her son in his last moments was happy or not, or whether like happiness would have like pulled him away from the ledge of loss. But they're all sort of like, yeah, open-ended questions. There's no like neat bow or neat sort of reasoning to any of the things that she contends with. It's just like very much open-ended philosophical inquiry. I don't think I've really, yeah, I'd say like the closest thing I think I've read to something like this is something like maybe, you know, Year of Magical Thinking or Anya Knows the Years. But it is really rare to read, I think, particularly from a female author, where quite often there's like an expectation that there is a sentimentality in your work, that like being in touch with your emotions means writing emotionally. And she kind of gets in touch with her emotions by applying a psychoanalytical eye to herself and placing it in the arc of history and how people have coped with loss and tragedy through time. Yeah.
Wow.
Super interesting.
And so people can grab this book now at the Time Out Bookstore if this is something that they're interested in.
It's out now. It's $30. It's a strong recommendation for me, but proceed with caution, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. It sounds like quite heavy. Heavy is the right word, I guess.
Yeah.
But, you know, look, there's sometimes you have to confront things like that in your life, you know?
Totally.
Especially if you don't have a choice, like the poor author.
And I think it's, like, interesting. There's some interesting principles to apply to really kind of any sort of tragedy that people might be facing, even if it's not, like, the loss of someone who's immediately close to you.
Yes.
Interesting. And also, while people are heading to Time Out, there's a little event on.
Oh, yeah, on like a very different note.
Very different note.
On Friday night, we're having a friend of the store, and I think a friend of a few of the people who like work here, Dominic Coey, who wrote 1985, really stellar, cinematic, fun novel. He'll be doing like a reading. We'll have a little Q&A. It's upstairs in our sort of very cozy, lofty space. It's BYO. Starts at 7 p.m. and a free event. So come get a book signed, have a little wine. We might head out later.
Lovely. Sounds like a great time. Gosh, sounds like a riot.
Hey, thank you so much, Suri. And
thank you.
We'll catch you next time.
That was Suri talking about Things in Nature Merely Grow by Yuyun Lee. You can pick that book up from Time Out Bookstore if you'd like. Also, they are having an evening with Dominic Coey this Friday from 7 to 8. So do head along.
That was Loose Reads.